Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, hello, welcome to another edition of Triple M's Midweek Rub exclusive on the Listener app as Daisy just gets a live update of the basketball that's going on this afternoon. But as always, we've got Duck, Damo and Daisy. G'day, boys. And Damo, fair to say, another quiet week in the world of AFL.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I don't know where you want to start today, Joey, when we get to the news part of our chat today. But we can talk Hawthorn, we can talk COVID, we can talk the colour of Daisy's top. I don't need sunglasses sitting next to him. How are you, Daisy?
Yeah, I'm all right, purple. Been a bit crooked the last couple of days. But
That's got to be one that you've been given.
No, no.
Because you wouldn't purchase that.
No, it's a nice little pink Kenny Parker number it is.
You purchased it.
A mate of mine has the label and... I thought, well, I might have the title of the best hoodie when I rolled in today, but I didn't realise that Joey would be wearing the old push-up king city of Inc. Just really strutting around and throwing some
that
muscle
is a
down
city
Clarendon
of Inc.
Street.
Hoodie. City, yeah. It's a City of Inc. hoodie from Jake King and the boys. It makes me look tough walking
that's a
around
guy,
the streets.
That's a guy reeking of non-toughness. just wants to look tough. And he's actually not tough.
I just get a feel what would it would be like for a day, Duck, to be tough and have sleeve tats. And I've got a few people give me a few looks and cross the road when I walk the other way. So thanks, Kingy, for the City of Ink hoodie.
Good. I might throw it home for the ride home, I reckon.
Clutching at straws.
Well, that would suit your car.
Ooh. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. How's your week been, Duck? Going
up? No, very good. Terrible.
Terrible.
The school doing, all
home
the homeschooling.
And everything.
Not that I'm doing a lot of it, but I've still got to contribute. Yeah. In other words, get other kids out of the road while there's other learning going on. So it's, Damo, don't giggle. It is tough stuff
no,
for
I'm
those
No, I'm dealing
at home.
With myself, Duck.
I feel for all the parents at home because it literally, your kids, when it comes to your parents, they don't want to learn. When they're at school, they all just fall into line because the other kid wants to learn, so they all do it. Whereas at home... It is a shambles. The dog gets it's
and the
raining,
younger they are, the more difficult
raining
it would
outside,
be.
And the dog kennel's nearly blowing over. So you've got to let the dog in, and the dog's jumping.
And
up
the weather's
the
been shocking, so you can't send them outside. And have you seen that saying, Damo, that's going around at the moment that we're worried about the next generation of the next generation because they're going to be homeschooled by alcoholics? And what are we going to have? What are our kids going to grow up like at the moment? Homeschooling
that,
and drinking red at the same time.
It's a real possibility.
Pretty much
isn't
my
it?
Childhood.
Yeah, I was going to say they'll end up with a show on Triple M on the Midweek Rub. What
about some of the COVID news, Damon? Before we get to the other news, let's just hit on the COVID stuff straight off the top because there's plenty happening.
It's just hard to know how it looks from here on, isn't it? We saw the drama around the two South Australian teams yesterday, flying to Melbourne, then not flying to Melbourne, then flying to the Gold Coast. And no, we won't do that as well, but then we'll get a late charter flight back down to Melbourne again. So they're probably going to be here for indefinitely again. That means there's two Swans teams are away from their home as well. So they're now hit with it. You've got the family. He's still hoping to come into Queensland for those Sydney teams. And then you've got matches that are being swapped and removed, Duck. And there's a component to it, which I absolutely understand. But when the integrity comes into it with venues, and the one right in front of us right now, Days, is Friday night, Port Adelaide, finals, doubles chance at stake, playing Collingwood in Melbourne, which should have been the Powers' home game. It happened to the GWS against Hawthorn some weeks ago. It's going to happen between now and round 23, and it's just a continuation of the compromising of the integrity, Duck. For no one's fault, by the way.
When you say integrity, I think that's a little bit harsher word in term. But at the end of the day, it's an oval, and you play on that oval. And I know there's home ground advantage, but with no crowd, I think that's less. So even if they were playing it at home, it'd be in front of no home crowd. I'm a bit, once again, glass half full. I think, obviously, Adelaide and Queensland are, it's not going to be dire like it is at the moment with Sydney. We know that Sydney is in the situation they're in. So it might turn more quickly for those two states. Let's hope so. Just like we hope so it does here and Sydney. But in terms of the integrity... Look, players, it's a neutral ground. It's not Collingwood's home ground. I know they play there a little bit more, but it's an oval, Joey.
I know from the players' perspective and the coaches, that's the right attitude. We'll play anywhere, anytime, at any ground. But there is an element, there is a reason why we have the home ground advantage because it does give you an advantage in a game of football. When you're trying to make finals, it does have some bearing. And it's fair to say, wouldn't it, Damo, if this was in the first five rounds of the year and you were playing away, it wouldn't be such an issue. But when we're so close to finals and games are meaning so much right now, and it does have some sort of impact.
And there's already a cumulative effect to the toll of being involved in a COVID-affected season. It's happened last year. We got through a large part of this year without it being dramatic. It's dramatic now. Mm. There's still a long way to go. Because it may seem simple, 45 matches remain of this home and away season, but that's a lot of games that don't have an absolute lock-in time zone right now and a venue because of the fact that there's three states in a state of lockdown.
And look, there's sides, and you can, and I'll bring up one that has handled it beautifully and thrived in this situation, Sydney.
Yep.
I mean, this is a group, and yes, there are sides that have struggled, and even last year we saw sides struggle during that time, but I said last year, Joey, whoever won the premiership last year would be the greatest premiership ever. Well, same goes for this year. If Sydney happened to, you know, get up or one of those teams that have spent most, I mean, it's enormous. These are just challenges. I'm of the belief that it's an oval. You get out there, you play. Who cares where it is? Okay, you haven't got your home crowd advantage, but no one's got that at the moment.
The other factor, Daze, is the finances attached to it. And 3 weeks ago, Gillon McLachlan actually publicly said it's cost us $15 million the previous 3 weeks. The costs have gone up since that moment. We've had more teams required to be moved. There's charter flights attached. There's accommodation. There's food. There's family components to all of this now. There's not the gate money coming into the game. There's not the corporate money coming in attached to the game being played and crowds attending. It's the clubs were told yesterday it's basically been a $6 million cost per week for the past three, on top of that previously listed $15 million. It's going to get worse with more clubs relocated. This is a massive impost for the second year running now, which is going to shape not just the immediate future, but the semi-long-term future as well.
So have there been, and am I right in thinking this, clubs who've come down maybe from Sydney and then played games in Ballarat for financial gain? Have they gone to sell games? Is that right?
Not really. But
the Giants did, I think, didn't they? Didn't the Giants make some money out of playing a game at Ballarat?
I'm not sure where they did. I know Essendon was able to get away with a really nice check coming back their way for the Dreamtime game, which was done at short notice. But the TV money is obviously propping the entire industry up. About 60% of all money coming into the system is TV money. That's why the games just need to be got away.
And there has to be serious question marks now about full capacity at the MCG come finals time. Even what's happened with Amy Park and the way that the health ministers have spoken about, you know, how we let people into stadiums and big events, that is going to be an issue. So we might touch on that after the break. We don't want to bring up where the grand final might be played, but we might, because it is a talking point. But Daisy, lift us up a little bit, mate.
All right, I'll bring you up. I'll get you going. Time for Hero.
I can be your hero, baby. We can be heroes.
Daisy's Hero of the Round.
Yes, we love a good hero. And this one is a bloke that I got to play a little bit of footy with in his infancy, young Sammy Walsh. I just think the way that he's going about his football at the minute, playing against the arch enemy on the weekend, I was there live and the Pies were running away with that game. And there was one man who was keeping Carlton in it, and it was a 21-year-old kid who was able to amass 38 disposals, kick a goal, and just single-handedly with Patrick Cripps out, say, boys, come with me, I'll show you how to do it. I know there's been a lot of talk about whether him or Rosie would have been the better pick in that draft. I don't really subscribe to the whole comparison things as much. I just think we should be grateful that we've got two stars at two different clubs. But Sammy Walsh is an absolute out-and-out champion. He could be and very well be.
Come on, Daisy. He's not a champion yet.
No, sorry. Traits to be a champion. The way he's going about it and what he's doing in his
rise. If he does it for another 10 years, he'll be a champion.
Very good point. But, and to also duck, well, I know you were working the game, and I was sort of listening to the commentary, and you threw to the heat map, and how would you best describe it? Rabsy, how would you describe the heat map?
You better take a look at this radar. What is it, son? I don't know, sir, but it looks like a giant dick.
Take a look out of starboard.
Oh, my God, it looks like a huge
pecker.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, that's not a woodpecker. It looks like someone's
private. We have reports of an unidentified flying object. It is a long, smooth shaft, complete with two balls.
What is that? That looks just like an enormous
wang. Pay attention.
Oh, boy. There's nothing small quite things. Like some just immature humor on a to get you through a lockdown.
Still doesn't think it's real, that what? Heat map.
No, I'm not buying that heat map. I'm not buying that heat map. Well, what movie is that from, though?
It's Austin Powers, I think, was the movie. So to Sammy Walsh, though, all the first bits, apart from the little bit of horsing around at the end, Sammy Walsh, you are a star, and I can't wait to see what you can do for the rest of your career, and hopefully we can soon call you a champion in 10 years.
Oh, well done, Daisy. Some of your finest work there. You did some prep for that. Not bad. Hey, plenty more footy news after this, Damo. We'll find out about Dusty, a bit more about the fixture and the Sam Mitchell-Clarko situation at Hawthorn.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Don't worry about me running out of material either.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, of course, exclusive to the listener app. And it's now time for Damo, all the big news. And let's start. We spoke about COVID before the break, but it is now serious to discuss the finals and what sort of crowds we think that we might be able to get in Melbourne come finals time.
Oh, right now there's no crowds, are there? And that's, the conversation has to start from there as one of the many conversations that spin off. Where do the finals get played? How do they get played? And given we've now got the two Adelaide teams in there and one of those teams going to be part of finals, what happens with the finals? Is it only fair that we actually then bunker down when it comes to the finals in that week off, reassess, do we get all the teams into the one part of the country, be it Melbourne, be it Perth, be it wherever, to play the finals in that way. And I think all these conversations, when I say I think, these conversations are being thrown around. We're still a few weeks away from needing to lock in something.
Well, I like that.
But it's quite
possible. I
like
that you said we're a few weeks away from locking it in.
Oh, we have to be. Yeah, we have to be. We've got to get the five matches away first to make sure the home and away season is not compromised already more than it is. And then Joey, and I'm scared to raise this, but
grand final.
We tried to preempt this conversation a month ago and we all nearly got killed by Duck by daring to speculate that the grand final might have to be moved. But guess what, Duck? The grand final might have to be moved.
Yeah, guess what? Well, let's when it has to be moved, we'll move it.
What about a hypothetical?
We're still a couple
of weeks.
Can we
do hypotheticals?
Okay, a hypothetical.
What crowd size has to be at the MCG, do you think, for it to stay in Melbourne?
If it couldn't be over 50%, then I think you move it.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
Yep.
Because why would, if you can have it at Optus Stadium or Adelaide Oval, for instance, and it be at full capacity.
But you can't have it at Adelaide Oval because they're in lockdown.
They are at the moment, Damo, but once again, negative Nancy. I'm talking that Adelaide Oval if could be back, fine if they're back to full capacity by the time of the grand final.
I don't think anyone's
Optus,
back to full and
Optus
capacity.
Stadium was at full capacity and the MCG was only at half. I'd say move it. I'm happy for it to be moved. If you've got a full capacity ground like Adelaide Oval or Optus, which are magnificent stadiums, by the way, and we saw how good the Gabba was last year, so give it to one of those.
But Damo, can I ask you, how likely would be the MCC to give that away, considering they wouldn't even allow Geelong to move their home game to down to GMHBA where they'd have a crowd because of all these conditions and legalities about we've got a certain amount of games.
Yep.
It'd be very hard to see the MCC handing over the grand final to another state, even if they could only have 50%.
That's what it comes down to. MCC Trust, effectively a government body, Victorian government body, lost the grand final last year. They tack on a year on that already ridiculously long deal to play grand finals at the MCG. Mm. It's now 2057 when that expires, and they will hold the AFL to ransom on it until they have to negotiate their way through.
Is there a chance that bye week you spoke of will just be scrapped and they could roll this season straight through?
I think it's a possibility, Daz. Yeah.
So I shouldn't book me tickets to the Darwin Cup.
Not just yet.
No, you might have to work.
Just on that, there's some people in the system, the AFL industry system, who are saying, let's have a breather right now. The problem with having the breather right now is there's no guarantee upon resumption and there's no guarantee of how that looks upon resumption given the complexities attached to the health authorities that are different in every single state and the special provisions given to even just to train these days, let alone play a game of footy with teams that don't come from that state.
And then the cost, what, send everyone home? Home for 5 days and then bring everyone back.
And the money
back.
Doesn't come back in while there's no games being played.
You have to tip your cap to the AFL though to keep... For what they're doing.
Awesome.
Imagine how bloody much, it'd just be stuff around. The fact they're doing is incredible.
And right now, the Victorian government, dare I say it, because, I mean, we've got more cases than South Australia and we're allowing teams to come in here and get around like us, which obviously we're under restrictions, but they're still able to live sort of, they're allowed to go for a walk.
Yep.
They're allowed to go get a takeaway coffee. They're allowed to do all of those things, which they weren't allowed to do initially up in Queensland, even though they're in a hub. They couldn't leave that particular area. So, well done. I think it's weird that they've got less, but they're here, and we've got more.
With every day, there's another reason for it to close in even further. The numbers out of New South Wales today are again going the very wrong way with infections in the community that have been undetected until yesterday. So,
hey, Damo, we've found out the full effect of the Dusty Martin injury, and it's much more severe than we even thought.
Yeah, lacerated kidney, which elevates it from a bruised kidney. And on top of that too, guys, he again, this is not the reason he got the kidney problem, Duck, but he was carrying a ribby issue that... they weren't keen on it, naturally enough, to make public. And even now they won't be. But he has been carrying a rib injury. He's been carrying a hip injury as well, unrelated to the impact, obviously. But it just goes to show what players do play with and through. And now he's got this injury that will have him. Again, he was told in the 24, 48 hours after he sustained the impact that he'd be in hospital for a week and a half to 2 weeks. Now, we know Dusty, he'll be ripping off cords pretty soon, I reckon, and getting out of that hospital on the Gold Coast or Brisbane. But that's the serious nature of it.
And because of that injury, I'm prepared to say now Tigers cannot win the flag. Yep. They're done.
Yep.
They're done. I mean, they're still battling to make the eight, by the way, but they cannot win it without Dusty. He's been the reason why they've won it.
Yeah, those that thought potentially if they snuck into seventh or eighth, they could sweep the board, that's now no chance.
Nah. Yep. Not for me, anyway.
Everyone's fascinated, Damo, by the Sam Mitchell, Alistair Clarkson so-called succession plan. Yep. What's the latest? Because there seems to be more and more coming out by the day.
Look, my opinion on this is that Clarkson won't be there next year. That's just my opinion based upon what I think I know about it. Just what I feel, Joey, and everyone's got a different view on this, and I try and marry up every bits of information you hear. Clarkson and Mitchell are okay. Now, they're not mates, but they're okay. They work together pretty well. They, until 3 weeks ago, hadn't had the cause to sort of be too closely aligned with how the club looks in the future. They now have that reason. And their views on that are very contrasting. I mean, Alistair Clarkson's got a different view, very different view to what Sam Mitchell wants to do right now. That's the issue at play now. And I could also tell you, too, that while Clarkson, it's been well known he hasn't had a great relationship with Jeff, in fact, a really ordinary one, despite all the success, he also hasn't had a great relationship with his own CEO, Justin Reeves, since last year in the COVID 2020 season. So that's an interesting situation itself. Never seen your coach having fractured relationships with the two key officials at a footy club.
That's a massive issue, though. The main one there is obviously if Sam Mitchell and Clark are on different pages where they go next year, then it's quite simply he cannot coach, Alistair Clarkson cannot coach Hawthorn next year. You can't have this succession plan can't work if you've got two guys thinking different things and going in different directions.
Well, work it through, Duck, because the money attached to
I agree.
No, what I'm saying, work this through. $2 million or thereabouts, give or take a couple of $100,000, and it could be give, by the way, over $2 million, but that is the money owed between now and close of play 2022. That's money that Hawthorn can't just remove. They either pay him that, or at the very least, it has to be kept on their books for next year. And we know we're operating in this world now under a very, very tight soft cap. So that's the logistical issue with it.
So in other words, Sam Mitchell would be not getting paid a lot, is what you're saying, because that'd take up most of the soft cap.
Take up a lot of it. Yeah. He's got a 1+3-year deal. Obviously, one as it stands to coach Box Hill next year, and then three as coach beyond that.
So if Clarko did coach in 2022, he'd be doing so with a poor relationship with the president, doesn't speak to the CEO, and doesn't have a great or they're not on the same page, and work with the coach in waiting.
That's what
it would be a remarkable effort to coach next year and get some success if that's the case.
Did they get leading teams into? Do something.
They've
with
had
Mitchell.
Leading teams there for a while, and the meeting to which you're referring to, Days, last Wednesday, was what I believe to be a standard in the diary meeting. Now, what came out of it is for others
in the diary before 3 weeks ago when it was announced, or was it just in the diary?
No, well, given, and they both said this on the day it was announced. They had a 20-minute chat prior to that being made public about the transition. No, I think these meetings with these two and others around them are being scheduled as a result of this new arrangement.
And if you know anything about leading teams and Ray McLean, which we had at St Kilda, it is all about honest feedback.
Yep.
It's about being very honest is what it's all about. So that's why some of the conversations coming out of it, and particularly Mitchell apparently saying that he would ideally like to be coaching next year, that wouldn't surprise me, because knowing Ray McLean and how he operates, it's all about being very, very honest with one another.
Well, what I've ascertained, he does want to coach next year. Now, I don't know, as we speak, whether he actually said that in that particular meeting.
Right.
But yes, he does want to coach next year. And I think that's only natural too, given he's now been handed the keys to the future. Yeah. You may as well start the future.
It's like having, at the moment they're not a Ferrari Hawthorn, but it's like having a Ferrari, having the keys and not able to drive it.
it's going to be fascinating anyway.
All those things considered, plus relying on leading teams to blend the two together.
I would have thought what they've been able to achieve and the type of leadership, Clarko and Kennett and these guys. I mean, you wouldn't think they'd need leading teams.
That's what I would have thought. Yeah. If all this talk about Clarko and Sam Mitchell, Clarko and Sam Mitchell being mature and all, surely they can go and sit down together for the day and say, well, how are we going to do this next year? But to get a consultant in, I did find that interesting as well.
Anyway.
But fascinating. Anyway, we could talk about it all day, but we've got to get to the Duck Dive Quick Five after this.
This is the Midweek Rub.
You watch me today. This will be one of my best performances.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusive to the Listener app, and it's now time for this.
On the Midweek Rub, it's time for Duck Dive.
I'm good from the waist down.
Quick Five.
Duck Daisy told us off the top how impressed he was with Sam Walsh's heat map. I want to ask you three questions. First of all, is he now the number one man at Carlton?
As of now, he is, because Cripps is out.
Oh, if Cripps was playing, Duck, is he the number one man? Who's their big dog? Who's the big dog?
I still think Cripps is their number one.
You still think Cripps is their number one?
Yep.
So next question, is Sam Walsh a top 10 player in the league right now?
Yes.
Fair enough. And will he be a champion? We answered that.
He will be a champion in 10 years, Daisy.
10 years' time.
And by the way, a few years ago, I'm getting copying a bit of flack from Carlton supporters because about 3 or 4 years ago.
Before
he was drafted. And we knew who Sam Walsh was. We knew he was a good junior player, but there's been plenty of those that haven't gone on. And I said, well, maybe Carlton, given that they've had heaps of picks prior to Sam Walsh and haven't exactly done well or got them to finals, and et cetera, et cetera. Maybe they're better off trading the number one and going to get 3 or 4 players. I used an example of a few players at Melbourne at the time who have gone on and done nothing since. So I'm copying a lot of positive feedback about that. I will say for all those geniuses out there that had a crystal ball and knew that Sam Walsh was going to be the player he's been,
exactly.
If I knew that he was going to do what he is doing now, then you clearly wouldn't do that. But to all the dingbats out there that think they're geniuses, thanks.
It's a long-winded way of saying you're wrong, Duck.
Yes.
About this particular thing, you could say.
You had a theory at the time.
And I stand by that theory. I'd stand by it next year. But just every now and then you get a freak come along, and right now Sam Walsh looks like one of those.
Can Sam Walsh take Carlton to the promised land? I know this is a big hypothetical, but is he the type of guy that you can see lead Carlton to their next premiership?
I can, and just not around what he's doing, but also you got Jacob Wiedering down there who captained on the weekend, Harry Mackay, Charlie Curnow back.
What about Cripps?
Yeah, and of course, but just throw them in around. Cripps is the star. He's the one who's been doing it all. Now there's a few behind him.
Kurnow's the
sort
X factor. They need to get him back.
Yeah. Hey, Duck, goal kicking. It's become a massive issue. It's horrendous at the moment. Set shot goal kicking in particular. Do you have a theory, and what would your advice be to players as they go in to have a shot for goal?
My advice to every club out there, and you look at the differences between those who are winning games and not, and generally it's through bad kicking. St Kilda's a prime example of it. They had 4 weeks where they kicked really well, and they won those games.
Yep.
The ones they didn't, they were losing. Every club should be hiring a goal kicking coach. Yep. No doubt about it. That's as simple as that, Joey.
Yep.
It is deplorable.
Next question. The Brisbane Lions. Is Joe Danaher the man? Is Joe the man that can lead them to a grand final, or do you think they need more?
Need more. Hasn't shown me he's the man. They need Charlie Cameron to stand up as well. McCarthy, I think, has been doing enough. McStay doesn't do enough for mine. Kicked a couple of goals on the weekend. What do you have, 4 possessions? I mean, the guy's built like Tarzan. And he just doesn't deliver enough. He needs to do more. He needs support, Joe. He can't do it by himself.
A lot of injuries, Damo, don't they? The Brisbane Lions now taking its toll.
And Rayner, who we forget about when we think most recently of Hipwood going down, and also Adams. They've got problems. And I just think their last 2 weeks says they're just not there again. They're going to go Gardner's really close, crucial, as happened in 2019 and 2020.
I still think they're dangerous. I'm not saying that Brisbane can't get on a run. And you know, if Joe and Charlie and McCarthy and McStay actually, you know, has a little bit of fight and gives them something, then they're capable. But is that going to be – it's not a consistency capable. It might be a 1 or 2 off capable.
Yep. Are you concerned by Melbourne in recent weeks?
No. I don't know why Melbourne would do this, given where they've been over the last how many years, but they seem to mentally tune off when they're playing a side – that they think are lesser than they are, and they get up. That's why I think it's a massive game, obviously, this Saturday night, which I'm really looking forward to. But they have delivered when they've played against the better teams. They've just been really poor when they haven't.
That's their growth as a football club, isn't it? And the ability to win the games that we're talking about it on Triple M Footy. Mm. Different types of winning. When you get to an elite standard, there's just wins that you have, like some wins against the better sides, but then a win against a Hawthorn on the weekend, you go out and get that done by 8 goals. That's a tick. And anything under that is almost a loss, and that's how it should be reviewed.
And they did have a couple of those earlier in the year where I don't think they were playing their best, but they just did enough.
Yeah.
And they played a quarter to do enough to win.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they've fallen back into, well, you know, like I said, just not mentally preparing. And what I will say, there's still positions up in this team. They've got a full list to pick from Joey. There are players that are going to play, going to get a double chance going into possibly a grand final and winning a grand final. Tell you what, if you flirt with your form, you, all of a sudden you're out of that team and you miss out on, you know, an opportunity that you play this game for.
Yeah, I wouldn't be concerned about Melbourne at all. Expected score, if they had have kicked straight, they would have won by 20 points. They just coughed up a couple of goals. But if they'd have won those games that we expected to win, they'd be undefeated.
Exactly,
so let's
right.
be honest. I mean, if they got there, they're undefeated. So we're looking at them in a completely different light. They are in a great position, the D's. It's up to them now. Is it down to three, the premiership race, from your perspective?
As of right now, it is.
Three Victorian teams?
As of right now, it is. But I think there are a couple of teams. I think Brisbane are one that's got that little bit of an X factor. I think Sydney, who, and Damo picked this right at the start of the year once again, Damo, they just have an X factor about them, and they just seem to be getting the job done. They can score quickly. They're exciting. Are they capable? Yes. I still think Brisbane are. Port Adelaide get a few back. Are they? They haven't beaten anyone above them, Joey, so there's concerns. So for me right now, I'd be saying Melbourne, Geelong and the Bulldogs. We're going to find out a little bit more about the Bulldogs, I think, on Saturday night.
Yep. Mm. And last one, going into season 2022, is Dusty Martin still the number one player in the game? Or considering with the year he's had, the injury now and some other players coming past, has he been overtaken as the best player in the game?
Yeah, I would say that. But I don't think Dusty Martin has been considered the last few years the best home and away player in the game either. There's been others that have been comparable. That year that he won the Brownlow, he was out and out the best player in the comp for that year. But in the other years during the home and away, there's been players easily comparable to him, if not ahead of him. This year, Bontempelli, I mean, he has just been incredible.
Yep.
I think Sam
Petrarca.
So,
and Ollie Wines has passed 10 weeks too, in a season, you know, of 2021 context.
You know what I noticed about Ollie, and I watched him on the week, he just looks so fit.
Yep.
He's always been that real solid build, but he's ripped at the minute.
Yeah, he's almost a keg. You almost cannot get your hands around him for a bloke who can cover the ground like he can. Mm. They call him the Bull, and for good reason, because he's ridiculously strong. It's almost unfair to us skinny boys.
After this, we're going to take a look at the round 19 games to come and have a look back at our certainties from last week.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Most teams that I've been in have all been pretty good.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. And if we take a look back at our certainties from last week, Daisy, you were very confident Port Adelaide would beat St Kilda. You're on the money there. It looked a bit shaky for parts of it, but you got
nervous,
there.
But anyway.
Duck, you took the West Coast Eagles. You've stuck fat with the Eagles.
You got them right. And you didn't ask me about them before, whether they could still win the flag.
Can they still win it?
Yep. They can. I'm telling you, just don't write them off just yet.
They found some form and some players that have been struggling. Gaff got back into some form. Yo played his best game for a while. Liam Ryan played his best game for a while as well. So there was some positive signs about the West Coast Duck. I think they've got a little bit to go. We got the audio of Damo. Unfortunately, Damo, I think you got 8.5 tips right this weekend. But let's take a listen to your certainty.
I lit a confidence booster too after my efforts last week. So I'm going to take the, if you let me, Joey, the D's against the Hawks.
Sniff.
How am I going?
Yeah, that was stiff. That's only, you don't have to bring in a 6-pack. That's only 3 beers extra that we've got the tally for our end of season drinks.
And three long necks.
And speaking of stiff, I am stiff because if you got, hopefully my certainty, you've got the reason why I said the Giants at the time. Rabsy, hey, as much as we're all loving the Swans and everyone is on the Sydney bandwagon, I think the Giants are a certainty to beat them this week. You left out the bit when I said because specifically it's at Ballarat and the conditions would suit the Giants. As soon as it got moved, Daisy sent me a text and he said, "Do you change your tip now?" And I said, "Didn't I say yes?"
No.
Oh, that's stiff.
No, you did. We quickly discussed as soon as it was a fixture change that maybe Sydney might be one of the better bets of the weekend.
Yeah, I explained that it was that the conditions would have suited the Giants in Ballarat.
We don't do that on this segment, Joey.
Why?
We don't want context.
Okay, you're right. I got it wrong. Let's take a look to this weekend's games because there's a couple of beauties. There's some big eight shaping games. Duck, you're going to have the new ball again. What game do you want to look at?
I'm going to go with the Eagles over the Saints.
As your certainty.
As my
you
certainty.
Think the Eagles can get on a roll.
I do. Game. I do.
The Rowan Marshall-less Saints.
It's going to be a ripper, that one.
All right. Yep. Hard to argue. Rowan Marshall's a big out.
Massive out.
Saints, yeah.
He's been crucial to everything good about that.
Hey, hang on. The Saints have been in good form. Yeah, so this isn't just because of Rowan Marshall. This is, I'm going out on a limb.
And he played his best game for, he's been back 4 weeks. It was easily his best game. He would have been the best man on the ground if he had have kicked a couple of those goals late in that one. So, all right, Ducks got the Eagles again, sticking fat. Damo?
I'm going to take the Cats over the Tigers. I still think the Tigers could win their next four beyond the Cats game and get into the eight, but I just think they're going to struggle against the team that I think is the standout for the 2021 flag prospect.
They're ticking every box, aren't they? They've won nine of their last 10, the Cats. Every indicator, their offense, their contested work, and their defense is all rock solid.
And if they can get those three guys who are out in Rowan, Cameron, and
Duncan.
I just had a mental blank on the third one, Duncan. Yeah. Yes, who's the one who may not come back, by the way, but the other two will come back. Yeah.
Oh, Daisy?
I'm gonna go with the D's to beat the Bulldogs.
Oh, good. I like you. I'm with you on that one.
I'm with the D's, by the way.
I'm with you on that.
What about just last week, me tipping the draw between the Blues and the Pies?
I know.
And with 10 minutes to go, scores were tied up. You should have seen me striking around the box at the G.
I did bring that up at home when I was watching it.
I'll continue on the form of the Blues. Carlton to beat the Kangaroos. I think that the Blues are finally, Daisy, we've been begging for
without,
it all year. Their last
is that without
four,
Cunnington?
Cunnington will be back this week, won't
oh,
he?
Oh, will he?
Yeah, okay. And the Kangaroos have been in pretty good form, Duck. They're probably in better form than St Kilda, the Kangaroos. But I think the Blues are playing, they've found a bit of their mojo, and it's been off the back of their defence.
Yeah,
they finally stiffened up their defence. They're conceding less scores. And hey, guess what? Surprisingly, if you stop the opposition from scoring, you win games. They've won three of their last four.
It's amazing how simple it is, isn't it? And it's on the back of defence, but also just not horrible turnovers.
Yep. They were safer with the ball, aren't
they? Safer with the ball out of the back half until they get to the middle, and that's when they get some speed into it, get some overlap, try and turn the defence out. But for that first half of the season, their defenders, to quote Mick Malthouse, thought they were Farrell Merritt and just laser beaming balls through the middle that weren't on. So I never saw much of Farrell Merritt, but I'm assuming he was a good kick.
I'm not sure Mick would have either, would he?
Mick's pretty old.
Another good show, boys. Thanks for another edition. Get back into lockdown. Of course, don't forget you can listen to every game across round 19 on Triple M, starting with tomorrow night's clash between Port Adelaide and the Pies. It's going to be a big game, big weekend of footy. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it all again next Wednesday. This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.